step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Our guest today is one of the most successful stand-up comedians in the world, Fluffy.
Yeah!
That's a big scar for a meniscus.
That's a big knee.
A doctor told me, he goes, yeah, that's a procedure. It takes about 90 minutes. 4 hours later, he goes, wow. I was at the Canelo fight, sitting right next to Chappelle and Rogan. They got kicked out of their seats by Travis Scott and DaBaby. You have no idea who just got kicked out you guys to sit here. Travis was like, I know exactly who the hell got kicked out. The manager of the club calls me up and he says,
there's somebody that called up and they want to do a guest spot on your show.
Okay, well, who is it?
Yeah, I can't say.
I go up on stage, I get handed a note, and when I open it, it says Robin Williams.
Oh, God.
And the mental breakdown was basically me going through my first real breakup in my 40s.
Are you over it now?
Oh, yeah. I'm good. I'm at peace now.
It's not over yet. This is a multi-million dollar program. There is no reason a cord should be propped up on a recliner. Bro.
Oh my God.
This is unacceptable.
Caleb,
Dylan.
Caleb,
get your.
Hold on. We're all right. It's Monday. We're happy. Caleb, can you show the cord draped over the recliner, please?
When I say sun, pan, Caleb.
Oh my God, Michael.
What the f is good?
I'm Michael. All
right.
It's Monday for
Jeff,
Pete's sake.
Jeff, I can't work like this.
Jeff, it is true. I say we do a revamp. We fire everyone, including Mike and George, including myself.
How many times am I going to get fired this week, bro?
All right, listen. Twice.
That happened a month ago. So
wires supposed to be like that.
What? You talking about wires now? What are you doing about wires? You're a manager, bro.
Wires come in and we don't send
wires them. Only? Seems like we hit a little bit of a lull.
today's a weird one. It's a weird one. All right, I'm going to bring the guest on. It's gnarly. Allow me to take it from here. Oh, wait. Welcome back to Impulsive. The number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing.
Hey, Dylan, shut the fuck up.
I actually didn't see him.
Hey, he's doing
this whole time you never said hi?
Hey, George.
I'm so sorry.
He's doing the intro.
I'm so sorry. Go ahead, please.
Why don't you do it, George?
No, it's too big of a guess, bro. No pun intended.
George, if you don't know the intro.
Our guest today is one of the most successful stand-up comedians.
Do it, man. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the couch right now is a very funny man who has no beard. Hey, whatever. So, thanks for having me. I'm going to steal a lot of this shit when I leave.
I said I'm trying to be like you. He goes, keep eating. I'm so sorry. Fluffy.
I got a good one, Fluffy. Ready?
All right.
Subscribe. Our guest today is one of the most successful stand-up comedians in the world. But like any success story, there were major personal and career bumps along the way. His new special, Stadium Fluffy Live from Los Angeles, is out today on Netflix, in which he was the first ever comedian to play and sell out the Dodger Stadium. Oh my God.
It's crazy.
Please welcome Gabriel Iglesias, Fluffy.
What's up, guys? Thank you. George, what's up, man? Get here.
Dude, I am so excited that you are on Impulsive. You have no idea.
This is awesome. I want to make sure I'm sitting right. Okay, here.
It's not bad.
There you go. This place is cool.
We work remotely, so yeah, this isn't our house. You can steal whatever you want.
Nice, right? <Yeah. laughs> It is a nice neighborhood. You know it's a nice neighborhood when everything is in Spanish, but there's no Mexicans. So it's nice to be here. Yeah. Hola.
So, dude, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're pumped to have you on, man. We like to start the shows with a little icebreaker.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I know you have.
I didn't know I could wear sandals, dude. That's crazy.
You don't even have to wear shoes at all, bro. Oh,
bro,
you got bunions.
Nothing, man.
Is that a better icebreaker? Like, you got bunions. Yo, do you have bunions?
Hey, what's up?
Kick your feet up. Relax.
This is cool. Yeah. Hey, come on, George. Get with it, man.
Dude, I'm with it.
Get with it.
No, I feel weird.
Feel like a Mexican.
Take it. Go ahead. Run.
Here we go.
No, I was gonna say. I like to start the show with a little icebreaker. I know you have two chihuahuas.
Yes, I do. I have two chihuahuas.
Yeah, so when did you lose your virginity?
Nice.
I thought about that in the car right here.
Before I got the dogs.
Fantastic. No,
long really, before I got the
no,
dogs.
No, really though, I'm curious.
When I turned 20. When I turned 20, I was in Phoenix, wow. Arizona. It wasn't for lack of trying. It just no one wanted it. So when I turned 20, I was on the road for the first time, and yeah, one thing led to another, and yeah,
one thing led to another.
One thing led to another.
Who's the chick? Who not, you don't have to give me a name.
I don't. It's been so long. Yeah, it was like, a chick, in case you're wondering, because I know that's gonna be the next question. What's his name, bro?
All right, thanks. Thank you. That's it.
What is it about Phoenix and Arizona in general, by the way, that breeds?
Actually,
that
it was Tucson, Arizona. Forgive me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Hey, what's up? Yeah, Tucson.
I didn't know we had a Tucson crew in here. What the hell was that?
What was that?
we just had an uprising.
Who claims Tucson?
Tucson.
Dude, Tucson doesn't even claim Tucson.
I love Phoenix. Tucson. Yeah.
Is there what? There's a school there. Yeah.
Manager Jeff is raising his hand. University of Arizona. U of A. Same with Dylan. Okay, we do have a little squad.
University of Arizona is supposedly the hottest girls on the planet.
Is that true?
It's right there in Tempe, right?
Is that right?
No, I'm thinking Arizona State, right? Okay.
I don't think we're ever going to get this one right.
Wrong one.
I don't know. But that's because it's a college. And just colleges in general, I don't know anything about.
You don't know anything about geography.
I can't get into them, and I can't get into them. You know what I'm saying?
It's true. You flunked out.
All right.
Chihuahuas.
We did want to talk about the Chihuahuas.
Okay.
So how does it work? Because, you know, I'm picturing you with two Chihuahuas. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, I've had my dogs for a very long time. One of them, she's about to be 17. The other one's 10. And I've been taking them on the road now for about 5 years.
You love these dogs.
I love these dogs. These dogs, they bring me a lot of joy.
Really?
You know, it's one of those things where I don't argue with them. They just, all they want from me is just to hang out. Just do this.
What are their names?
Vinny and Risa. Risa in Spanish means laughter, in case you're wondering.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, one thing that doesn't usually spell laughter is Chihuahuas. They're some of the most violent dog breeds on the planet.
They're, you know what? The reason when people find out how old my oldest is, they're like, wow, she's that old? I go, yeah. Anger keeps her alive. That you always hear about old people living, you know, that are angry, that live forever. They're just like, this bitter asshole won't die. Because anger, man, it just keeps you youthful for some reason.
Everybody's scared of pit bulls, but I think, like, the majority of dog attacks are from Chihuahuas.
You could lose a finger, fingernail.
Easy. My little girl dog has no teeth, and she still scares the other one.
She's gumming people.
Scared, yeah. But it's the attitude. It's the attitude. Like, you feel like you try to pet her, she's fram. Yeah.
Are you based in Los Angeles? You are?
Yeah, Long Beach.
Okay. And you grew up in Los Angeles?
I grew up in Los Angeles. I was born in San Diego, grew up in Long Beach, and I've been there ever since. And it's funny, I have friends that go, you know you can afford to leave, right? I go, it's home. It's home for me.
Yeah. Sick. I wanted to ask, are there coyotes in Long Beach?
There is.
You worried about that?
I'm not worried because my dogs are inside dogs. They're not outside dogs. Okay. You know, they're very spoiled. They're always on a couch. They're always on a little doggy bed. They go outside. I'm watching them. They're done. And they let me know. They don't want to hang out outside.
Yeah, yeah.
You know the drill. See, I didn't. And I had a little dog too.
Oh.
Coyote hopped the fence, snatched him up. Seen him on what's that app? Citizen?
Yep.
That app that alerts you of crime. Mm-hmm. I seen a post on Citizen the next morning. Small golden dog head found in my yard.
Gone. treated his yard like a drive through.
Yeah, 2 miles away from my house.
Sorry. That's a rough one.
Dude, it wasn't an inside dog. It was shitty.
We saw it on camera.
He hid in a tree for months trying to get revenge. Like, I'm not kidding.
Hold on.
We can't talk about this?
We can. I just am saving this story for Joe Rogan podcast.
For what?
For Joe Rogan's podcast.
Saving that story for the end of when time I go, at this point.
When I go on, I have like five stories I've never told online. I'm saving for Joe Rogan.
I got it. I want to hear this off. You know.
I'll tell you. Okay. But I do think it's sick that you are born and raised, LA area, California, whatever you want to call it. And you did sell out the Dodger Stadium twice. And you're the first comedian to ever do that.
Doing a show like that at home, definitely the biggest thing I've ever done at home. That means everything. Yeah, it was very cool.
Like, oh my God, I can't imagine. Like, no. If I
was going there as a kid to watch games, so that's like to go there now and it's like it was surreal.
Yeah,
surreal.
You've definitely made your family proud. Your everyone around you proud, and I know you've had a lot of ups and downs too. And I don't want to start on a super downer note, but I find.
I was a virgin until I told you I wasn't.
He started on a downer note until he was 20, dude.
Bro, you punked him out of my dogs and then called him a virgin. I think he's good to start out wherever
you can start wherever you want. It's pretty much, you know, it's up from there.
You've had a lot of ups and some downs.
That
are inevitable with it. And I think our audience can appreciate an authentic story, and especially an authentic story of redemption of self. Mm-hmm. And I know you had that a little bit.
I think we need a lot of both. We need ups. We need downs. Downs help to create character. And, you know, it's one of those things where if everything's just always going good, then how are you really going to appreciate? How are you going to understand? How are you going to value something if you don't know how hard it was to get there?
Bingo.
So, you know, I appreciate it. I am very grateful that my downs were not my final, you know, moment. I was able to come back from things, whether it was health or whether it was relationships or whether it was just career going in weird circles and places. And to be where I'm at now, I'm very grateful. But I know how hard it was to get here, and I appreciate the hell out of it.
For sure. I know me and Mike relate on this a lot, but we really get along best with people who have been through shit. You know, trauma, tragedy, survived, overcome, and adapt. And what I'm referencing...
Yeah, people who got their shit together are no fun.
Right, they're no fun, right?
Really, everything's
been
great.
It's been great. Good for you.
Wow. Yeah, got all your teeth and everything. Fuck,
sick. Right? But for those of you who don't know, the thing I'm referring to is in 2017, you had a little bit of a mental breakdown where you realized you had some time for yourself.
And the mental breakdown was basically me going through my first real breakup in my 40s. I had never had heartache before like that. It was my relationship that came to an end when I was on the road. And so, yeah, it's like, how am I supposed to be a functional entertainer when I can't keep my personal life together? And so it was one of those things that, you know, doing a lot of drinking, a lot of just, you know, the road. And you know, unfortunately, it took its toll.
Would you say you were an alcoholic?
No. Alcoholic is daily. Alcoholic, because I asked the question. Based on research. No, it's one of those things where
every other day.
No, I was on the weekends.
Well, there's different levels of like alcoholism. There's like a hardcore physically dependent alcoholic that like wakes up in the morning, they have tremors, they need to drink just to satisfy this physical dependency. Exactly. But then there's also lower levels of alcohol dependency that are binge drinking and that kind of thing, which technically classify as some level of alcohol dependence or
I asked. They still
get
said
away
no.
from an emotion.
Okay, then yes.
Yeah.
Then yes.
No, I was asking. Is that
that was amazing. Yeah, I was trying not to deal. You know, but, you know, I was doing it more so on the weekends. Not really so much. I wouldn't wake up and like, I need a drink or, you know, Monday, Tuesday, have a drink. It was more so on the weekends.
Was it ever affecting your work?
That's the crazy part is that, no, because on stage I wasn't drinking. It was after.
Oh, so the problems are only when you were drinking. Were you just smacking your chihuahuas?
Get over here, Vinny. You little shit.
Your name's Laughter, but you won't be laughing for now.
Did you just finger my dog?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Fuck to him.
They're also Long Beach chihuahuas. Like, you're not going to push these motherfuckers around. Bro. Like,
it's a 5'6" dog. Yeah, you don't have
a 5'6"
dog. LBC, man. No, it wasn't that bad.
And if you don't mind me asking, how did you overcome it? Like, what was that one thing in your brain that you were like, all right, fuck it. This is what I have to do to get it done? Because I always forget to ask this important question. And right now, there's somebody in your position, exactly in your position. Like, literally you. But, like, somebody's going through what you're going through. And, like, what is that one thing that you had to think about or do to get you out of that rut?
I knew that if, you know, the fact that I was going through this breakup, I didn't want to depend on alcohol in order to numb it or to avoid it, or I needed a deal. I needed a deal, and I needed to make sure that I had a clear head. And so that kept me. I didn't drink for at least 2 years.
It was 2 years, gosh.
And I wrote it down. It was 2 years and like 3 days because I made sure that I hit the 2 year mark, but I wanted to make sure that I dealt with all my bullshit sober. I didn't want to make a bigger mess because, you know, sometimes you drink, you'll send a text you can't come back from. You make a phone call, you regret. And I wanted to make sure, you know, it hurt, but I dealt with everything. With a clear head.
What was that dealing like? Like, what did your...
It sucked, dude.
Yeah, but what was the process? Like, you know, you spend 2 years sober. Are you in therapy? Are you?
I did do some therapy. I didn't want to do it at first because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, Mexicans, man, we don't do therapy. We'll get drunk and cry and sing songs and vent to an uncle. Hey, estás bien, mijo, estás bien. And that means you're good and you get the blessing. And so it's one of those... It's hard to... say you need help. It's hard to admit
for sure
that you have a problem that you can't fix on your own. And so originally the idea was to try to do couples therapy, and that unfortunately was not working. But the idea of talking to someone who allowed you to question yourself and find out about yourself,
Because that's one of those things. No one ever asks themselves, what is it I need? What is my problem? What is my issue? What do I got to do? What brings me joy? What makes me feel good? And going to therapy is one of those things that helped you do that. You know, and so I did that for a couple of years, and I made sure that I kept myself, you know, focused and didn't drink. And I think it was very beneficial because therapy teaches you to listen, which is a hard thing to do when you're in the business of talking.
Interesting.
The American's been coming out of me a lot.
America.
Recently. Yeah, America. I've been watching NASCAR on Sundays. I'll admit. I can't get rid of the fast cars. They got a place in my heart.
I see the clips when one of them crashes and the other driver goes up and big start wrecks. Punching through the window. It's fueled. It's fiery, dude.
We got a sponsor, guys. It is NASCAR. We do love NASCAR. And it might be the end of the season, but the intensity just started. This weekend, NASCAR is back at Homestead Miami Speedway. So strap in for a wild ride as stars of the NASCAR Cup Series take on Homestead Speedway. There are only 8 drivers left. They're vying for their spot to be a champion. NASCAR always delivers an action-packed race full of lead changes, wild wrecks, and close finishes that will keep you on the edge of your seat for the entire race. You have to experience NASCAR in person, so be sure not to miss the action. Go to NASCAR.com/tickets to get your tickets today. Can't make the race? Tune in and get ready to take a beer to the finish line with NASCAR in Miami this weekend at 2:30 p.m. ET on NBC.
Meow.
Thank you. Back to the program. Usually,
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you're a comedian, you're obviously dealing with some type of trauma. That's what you use comedy to get away from it. But you never really want to take care of yourself. That's why you meet comedians. I didn't know how weird comedians were until I met them backstage.
He's touching me.
They're fucking
weird. Why am I the one who's
so weird?
Percy fingered your dog.
Fingered my dog and he's touching me. Hey, bro.
Chill. I'm so sorry. I just got so excited that you're next to me.
No, for sure. You too, actually, are artists. You're artists. And your outlet is that of comedy. I commend you and I admire you for hitting the nail on the head and attacking the problem sober. Mm-hmm. I wasn't strong enough to do that. You know, I know how tough heartbreak can be. And I had one in particular where I drank my way through the whole thing. 30 days of trying to ignore reality. Mm-hmm. I needed to not be present, right? That was my worst nightmare. So you're much tougher than me, also much older, and with
age
comes wisdom. I don't know how old
you are.
There
was a time, you know.
No, but I think that might have been the benefit of going through the breakup at that age, because people can engage in highly self-destructive behavior when they have that heartache and they're young and they don't know where to go or how to handle it. But I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned therapy and you also mentioned your upbringing. You know, your uncle was saying,
it was just Spanish gibberish. You know, that's usually what happens. You get drunk, you get emotional, someone looks at you, that's the way, which means you're fine, dude, in a weird way.
Yeah. So I find this interesting because 2022, we are in a time where people, I think, I'd be optimistic to think that are becoming more open and honest, especially with themselves, right? Like, man, 50 years ago, talk about depression.
Taboo.
Slap on the back of the head, like, yo, suck it up, right? Mm-hmm. And now I think people are more willing to have that conversation about going to therapy, about speaking to someone, a friend, a relative, whatever it is. I grew up with the kind of suck it up and get over it. And because of that, I became hardened. You've seen both sides. Mm-hmm. Which, in your idea, creates a better self?
I think it's a mixture of the two, because there's some people who can handle suck it up, and there's something in them that, all right, you know, it's a sink or swim type of thing, and you know, some people are built differently. Mm. Some people can handle it. Some people, it's all right, then I got to do what I got to do. But there's part of them that still wants someone to listen. Someone they still wish they had that outlet. Mm. And so I think finding that balance, you know, is very important.
That's the word right there, yeah. Balance. I've been talking about it endlessly lately. And it seems like, you know, your like work-life balance was probably skewed in a direction that was unhealthy because you were touring, you were drinking, you weren't focused on yourself.
I was go, go, go.
Exactly, as a lot of us are. But I think another big thing too is like, your mental health and your happiness is not a one-size-fits-all solution. There's no, you know, answer. Like, people ask me all the time, like, how did you, you know, get off drugs? How did you get your mental health back in check? Whatever. And it's like, dude, I can't give you that answer. There's a reason why people say life is a journey. It's a journey, dude. We are all, as I look around this room, there's 20 people in here. Every single person in this room is trying their best to figure it out. Mm-hmm. No one has it figured out, you know, and as someone who's struggling, you know, on the daily, or like a lot of people watching the show are, that's not the kind of thing that you want to hear. You want an answer. You want someone to be like, yo, do X, Y, and Z, and you're going to arrive at the finish line that you've always been dreaming of. Mm. But you know that that wasn't the case. So through those 2 years of work, was there any sort of applicable realization that you had, that you garnered, that you took away, that you said, okay, I can apply this and become a happier person?
It was a day-to-day thing. Like you're saying, it's not just one, like, okay, here's the plan. And that's it. No, every single day was part of that success. Every single day was part of that struggle, part of that fight. But, you know, you got the ups, the downs, and at the end of the night, when you put your head on the pillow, how did it go today? Did we drink? Did we make a mess? How do we feel about ourselves? It's all day to day. And so when people say, all right, so what's the plan? You take it day by day. I know it sounds cliche, and they always people say that, oh, it's day by day. But that's literally what it is.
One day at a time. I grew up with the saying of today has its own troubles.
Yeah.
Worry about them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I used to grow up. But to take it back about which is better, if you scale it back, I like to reflect not just on myself. I like to watch how people act so I can learn from them as well. The people that are like, brush it off, get it, shut it down, bottle it, you'll notice they have troubles when they need emotion, when they need that intimate relationship, when they have that son or girlfriend relationship, because they don't want to open up because they were trained, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
So when they're bothered, they're like, bottle it down, but bottling up ends up being resentment. Resentment becomes anger, and anger is like, yo, fuck this, I don't want to be here anymore. Mm. But then you see the guy that's too much on the opposite, my feelings, now they're fucking pussies and they don't want to do it. So it's a grand scale that you really have to fucking be disciplined. And the one key thing is, what is wrong with you? Like, you have to, I didn't grow up with a therapist. I thought it would be weird. I thought if you had a therapist, you're a fucking lunatic. That's how I grew up. I
was wow. Like, tell that to Tony Soprano.
I would even,
buddy.
Like, if you told me you had a therapist, I genuinely
get
be like,
the ducks.
What's wrong with you? Like, really? What happened? Distance. Like,
well, that's kind of what I'm saying. The stigma is disappearing from having a therapist. Like, having a therapist now is commendable and cool. Mm.
You're willing, it's getting closer for sure.
I mean,
especially for men, and to his point, probably certain cultures, Mexican men, it seems like especially you guys have.
It was very much taboo, man. Like I said, if you wanted to get in touch with your feelings, it was always drinking. There was music playing. You're around family, wow. You know, and it was very much a cultural thing. So to admit that you're having problems that you can't handle on your own, that's huge.
Are you over it now, the relationship?
Oh yeah. I'm good. I'm at peace now. I'm all right.
Well, no, the reason I'm
it's not over. No,
the reason I'm asking you is bring her out.
No.
Nice. We brought her here today. We're gonna rebuild.
We're gonna test them.
Are you single now?
Yes.
Are you fucking?
Am I fucking?
No, he sold out.
According to you and my dogs, that's what's...
I'm just kidding. Don't answer that. And that, by the way...
Let me just say, dating is... You know, you always hear people say, oh, that dating is so hard. It's very challenging. Like, how do you... Everybody's crazy. What's going on out there? And like, in my position, I just don't trust anybody. I always feel like someone is up to something. They, you know, there's an agenda. There's, you know, it's a money thing or a can you help my situation with, you know, can you expose like, oh, help me with my GoFundMe or help me with this. It's all about what can I get?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's depressing. I'm like, yeah, I'd rather just stay home and watch movies with my dogs.
It is lonely at the top, this. Brother.
Mm.
That's what they say.
I just had this like vision of you like going out to a bar in like Tempe. And you like bring a girl home, you have sex, and she's just like,
you fund
you know, my
fund.
Dog has leukemia, by the way. Like, here's the link. Can you post that? You're like, does that happen?
It happens a lot. Not the sex part. Not the sex part.
Fuck.
You at least gave me something. You know. No, but I every single day I get someone that asks me to pay for something.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, there is no like, if I do this, can you do that? No, it's straight. You know, can you help me pay for situations with family, with pets? I've been asked to pay for multiple funerals. Can you help me get a car? Can you help put me through school? And I'm like, you know, that takes, first of all, that's a lot of balls to ask somebody for this. And yes, they mean it. You know, it's not one of those like, oh, they're just kidding. No, no, they mean it.
You got it.
They send, they send links.
No.
In the beginning, you know, here's the problem is that, you know, I hear a story and you're like, oh, and you have a connection to whatever the situation is because you've experienced something like that. And you're like, oh, I know where that's coming from. Because, you know, like for me, I've seen people that have issues with dogs and they know I have dogs. So that's my weak spot. Mm-hmm. So then they're like, you know, look at what Scruffy's going.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Situation. You've only got one dog bed. Can you help? You know, I'm like, fucking Petco card. Here you go.
he got a slew of them in his pocket.
$20. What the fuck, bro? You sold out Dodger Stadium.
Oh, I get a lot of people that guilt me. I get a lot of people that guilt me.
For sure.
Yeah, I call them family. They're awesome. One of the hardest things to do is to say no, because you got to be prepared for the reaction. And sometimes people are cool about it. Hey, man, I can't right now. No, I'm not, no, I understand. It's okay. But then you get the others that will hit you with the guilt trips or the, all right, I see how it is. I see how it is. Okay. Mm. All right. I won't forget that. And you get the finger
just
pointing.
Like, what?
And you're like, really?
Why?
You know?
Yeah. It's annoying.
It's frustrating because you want to help everyone.
For sure.
And no one ever wants to not be the night. Like for me, I hate disappointing people. And I don't ever want to be a disappointment, but I feel taken advantage of a lot. And it's just like, dude, you know, it's hard. Saying no, it's hard. But at the same time, there's a certain level of like, wow, okay. That was a hard thing
power.
To overcome. It is.
It's powerful to say no. You talk about this in your stand-up when you talk about your driver, about how he works through Christmases.
Dave.
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 And you talked about how you trust him. And so you're using your problems in life and you're making more money off of it, man. Those are good jokes. So you're taking it and you're making a profit out of it.
You know, yeah, because it's like, for those that don't know, Dave, my bus driver, he's a friend more than anything now. Been working together for over 10 years. And matter of fact, I saw him a couple days ago. Just a super honest, hardworking dude. This guy's been driving buses for, I want to say, almost 40 years. Mm. And he's never taken a vacation. He's never taken a vacation. And so when the opportunity came to go to Europe for a couple weeks, I said, Dave, go with us, man.
No way.
You know, and so we had to fight and drag him, take him with us over there. And he had one of the best times of his life. And he's like, dude, man, I've been missing the boat. I haven't been living. I'm like, yeah, man, it's cool. I go, so do you still think America's the greatest country in the world? And he said yes, but it took him about a minute to say yes. Because wow. He really had to think about it. Whereas before, he's like, America. You know?
yeah, I haven't left, dude.
You know, of course. He's hardcore. He's hardcore.
Where did you bring him in Europe?
It's interesting to see. What's that?
Where in Europe did you bring him?
Oh, man, we did a whole tour. So I think his favorite country was Copenhagen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were, I couldn't even tell you the places we went. We were in Athens, Greece. We were in Spain, Copenhagen. We were in Norway.
Was he driving or solely as a friend?
No, just to hang out.
Oh, cool.
Just to hang out. Cool. So we called him Euro Dave.
Euro Dave.
You're out there. You're Euro
that's
Dave.
Hilarious.
And we made it a plan. I says, every country we go to, you got to drink a beer from that country.
Sick.
And I don't like beer, but I told him, I'll drink a beer with you. It, everywhere we go this way, it was a thing, and it was super cool.
I know how hard that is because I don't like beer either.
Dude,
you're a good man.
I'd rather just do shots.
Do people make fun? Dude, same.
Yeah,
I get grilled. From
I'm like, give me tequila or Diet Coke. I'm there's no in between.
Or both.
Cue the haunted music. Michael Myers sure is scary, but the last thing you need is to be hairy this Halloween. Luckily, our friends at Manscaped launched their 4th generation performance package to make sure your pumpkins get the ultimate carving experience on this spooky day. Turn your bite-sized treat into a king-size candy and join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code LOGAN. Make the right call this spooky season. It's trick or trim. Have you ever tried to trim down there and turn it into a Freddy Krueger film? Well, luckily, Manscaped is here to save the day and make sure you're feeling your best in your costume. The Lawnmower 4.0 is easily the greatest ball trimmer in the world. Oh, did I mention this trimmer is waterproof too? The trimmer is a shower essential. 20% off plus free shipping with the code Logan at manscaped.com. Say trick or treat to your beautiful new Halloweeny with Manscaped. Back to
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The program. Speaking of Dave and his inability to take some time for himself. I know you've had some trouble with this as well.
I don't take vacations.
Why?
I do not take vacations because what is a vacation? What is a vacation? You plan a trip maybe, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. You get on a plane, you get on a shuttle bus, you go to a hotel, you're in a pool, you're, you know, go to eat. That's every single week for me. I'm always on the road. I live on a plane. I live on a bus. Okay. I live at a hotel every single week. That's what I do. The funnest thing for me is getting up on stage. So I'm going to take the one thing away that brings me joy every single week and just do the work, because traveling is work.
Yeah.
Waking up early, go catch that flight, you know, make sure you get on that bus, pack those bags, get everything together, you know, go, 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 go. And then I got dogs with me. So it's like, it's work.
I mean, you're doing what you love.
I love what I do. And for sure. I'll find ways to enjoy my trip. So like in Europe, I took time to go see certain things. When I was in Spain, I made it a point. Let me go around town, enjoy, take a look around. But there always has to be work attached to it. And I can't separate the two. Vacation for me is being home for a couple of weeks, sleeping in my own bed, driving my own car, and not having to worry about what time I got to wake up.
That makes sense. I mean, we can relate.
You're preaching to the choir.
Yeah,
dude.
For sure. Well, I'm on the road 200 days a year. He's probably close. I mean.
But it always.
Wearing sandals is such a. Like
it's the socks. Oh, it's the socks for me.
That's how I chill. I'm relaxed.
Bro, I just got back from tips. Yosemite. tips. Yeah, those are fucking
old tip socks.
But those are like my pops wore though. You know? Those are the best.
But I don't have jewelry. I have gold tips.
You know you can't wear jewelry in LA right now.
I'm not even trying to be that. Because I still live in Long Beach.
Yeah.
I live 2 minutes away from a Roscoe's. So yeah, I'm not playing.
Nah, fuck that.
You need iced up though. I got you.
Oh shoot.
Damn.
Yeah,
my mom got me this. Oh like my Israel god, or that's something. That's the only reason I wear.
I got one of those. Too.
That's like a first communion chain right there.
Mexico.
No, wait.
Yeah,
wait.
We're going.
I got a path because I'm curious about this. I know. Well, I assume because it was on the PDF given to me by my producer Dylan.
Great PDF.
So if it's wrong, let's all attack him.
Okay. Hey, Dylan.
He's gone.
It's not even
during your emotional rebuild, did you have a time where you wished you would have spent more time with your children? Because you're on the road so much, right? And I read that you had a moment where you realized you were missing some important moments, right?
There's always going to be that regret factor, and you start thinking, oh, woulda, shoulda, coulda. I could have done this better. I could have handled this better. I could have done that. I should have done that. But you know, at that time, it's easy to say that after the fact, but when you're in the shit, when things are going on and you're part of a machine that just every single week, that's why I don't take breaks. This thing is a machine. I'm on the road 4 days a week. You know, the amount of work, time, energy, and then, you know, once money starts flowing, people say, money, you know, does money change you? It changes things around you. And once you see that there's something that's working, you become scared to let that go because you found something that works and you're seeing like things just happening around you. And so that does become a fear. And yes, I did start thinking, you know what? I should have spent more time. I could have done this better. I could have handled that better. But at the time, I thought I was doing the best thing for the family. being a hardworking person, making sure that my son never had to issues with struggling or having to worry about things, making sure the lights never got shut off, the water never got shut off. We always had a roof over our head. We never had a car that was busted. Everything was going great as long as I continued to do what I was doing. But after the fact, yeah, you will sit back and go, yeah, I could have done this. I could have done that. One thing I made sure that I didn't miss was I told my son, if you're going to graduate, I will be there. I will make sure that I cut that time out. I will be there for your graduation. And it's one of those things where it's like, all right, he did graduate.
Get the fuck out of the house.
I'm glad he did. No, he's still there. He's still there.
But you did have a moment with him, right, where you approached him.
Yeah, we've had a few moments. And I think it's one of those, like anything else, it's not just one thing. It's a series of events, a series of spending time and conversations and just having those awesome little key moments that make things stronger and better. And like this morning before I left, he just came over to the car and gave me a big old hug. And I'm like, well, that was okay.
Cool. Well, he knew you were coming here.
No. I told him after. What's funny? He told me
to
tell you hi.
Say hi to Logan for me.
He said, tell him I said hi.
I told you.
So, but he didn't know I was coming.
Oh, cool.
He didn't know. And so I thought that was really sweet.
Now he's going to be mad at you. He's like, dude, what the fuck?
You didn't bring me?
There's no coincidences in this business. You are as successful as you are because of an occasional missed Easter. Because of,
sacrifice.
This career is my fucking life. And you kids are always going to eat as a result of it. But there will be times when I'm not going to be at every single event because I'm providing for you. And I wanted to ask everyone, sitting here, this question: what happens to a machine when you don't use it for a while?
I think we know.
It starts to rust. Mm-hmm. It starts to slow down. It starts to lose its lubricant. It starts to run a little slower. And as the great Logan Paul has always said, this career, this life is all about something called momentum. And so those 2-week journeys, those 3-week journeys, those breaks, this, the break here, the break there, all career professionals know what that could end up equaling.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I'm personally struggling with on a major scale right now. I hit him up yesterday and said this to him, like, bro, I'm there 3 years deep, not a week missed. I know what it feels like. But you know that you have to balance in some way the need to continue pushing for your career and handling that other stuff. Do you think that you found a balance now?
I think I'm a lot closer to that balance. Whereas before it was 100% sacrifice. I knew from the get that if I wanted to be where I'm at now, it was going to mean that I had to give up and willing to give up certain, luxuries, being comfortable. First of all, being comfortable is actually a luxury. So once you find something that works for you and you feel very like, whether it's being at home or you got a job, I had a really good job before I got into comedy that was paying me very well. I was selling cell phones back in the day. Okay. This is before the iPhone or Samsung. I was selling a Motorola PC 550 flip phone and I was working on commission.
God, were
and
you in a hut? In a
I was actually inside of a Walmart. I was at a kiosk in a Walmart. You're laughing, dude. But at the time, 1997, I was making about $5,000 a month in commission, which think about it. For a 20-year-old making $5,000 a month, my rent was, half of my rent was $350 because I had a roommate. And I was, dude, I was balling.
You're balling.
Balling. Balling.
Yeah. $5,000 today is great.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so what made you
have success. You have the success trait. Even just sitting with you now, like the hustle, the grind, you're doing shit and you're good at it. Like I feel like you're one of those guys where whatever you do, you're going to figure it out. You're going to do it. You're going to make it work.
You know, the job that I had, my mom got upset with me when I quit that job to pursue comedy because I was getting benefits. It was the first time I had insurance, and I didn't just have the regular insurance. I had insurance. I had a medical, dental. I was making all kinds of money. I had a brand new car. I was paying for cable. That's a flex. I could have told like my neighbor. My neighbor was like, "Hey, bro, I'll hook it up." I go, "No, it's okay. I got it." "No, de veras, I got you." No, it's all right.
How many channels? Movie channels?
It was back in the day, so you got to figure I'm trying to remember the name of the company at the time. It's a long time ago, but I had my HBO, I had the Cinemax, I had Showtime.
You had Cinemax, you watched Cinemax after.
And so, and I'd order my WrestleManias every year, like, all right, or I'd watch it when it's all scrambled. Remember, it used to be all scrambled?
Yep.
I don't know how old you guys are.
The TV, I remember.
All scrambled. You'd watch the freaking Dirty Channel, same thing.
Spice, it was called Spice Channel.
Spice.
116.
Back in the day.
Y'all remember, you remember that shit?
What the hell are you guys talking about?
Dude, that was...
What do you mean it's scrambled?
This was the red tube of its time. This was the Pornhub of its day. Basically, you watch the TV and it's all scrambled. The audio was crystal clear.
So if you just close your eyes, yeah, you got a good imagination.
Oh my God, yeah, you're telling me you watched porn that had lag?
No, not lag? Him, George. No, George, you're not. You need to be understand this correctly. It wasn't a lag. You would occasionally see a boob.
Yeah.
You're basically looking into a misty swamp, yeah, a murky swamp
like
that goes like this.
It was now, like this, and then every now and then it would clear up, and it's like.
Yes, yes, like you would see some fucking, and you, bro, right? And that would be the moment you would usually be able to push like, it over.
Yeah!
So question for you, because there's a lot of people.
This is so funny, bro.
These are the people that I talk to on this show specifically, because it's like the 30 plus group that remembers this channel. This was the first thing I ever jerked off to. And I'm convinced, dude, that this channel, Channel 116 in Connecticut, the Spice Channel, produced a high-pitched audio frequency that would wake my mom up when I was jerking off. I swear to you, bro. Mom, she watches every show. I may have asked you about this before, but you need to tell me because, dude, I would be dead silent. I would get a little pillow hump going. I would get 116. A little tit would show up, maybe a thumb in the mouth.
You got that deep breathing.
Bro, but I was so quiet, and for some reason, my mom was right above me. I would always hear the foot hit the floor, and she would go to the bathroom. And now it's like, dude, that's the last thing you want to hear when you're whacking off is your
mom shitting?
Beautiful mom upstairs walking pooping. Across the floor.
Pooping on the floor.
Poop on the floor. I'm saying, what's wrong with you guys, bro?
Yeah, Robin's been on the no porn train for a while.
Oh, my God.
Well,
no porn, Michael.
I haven't watched porn in a long time, but my porn struggles are very different. My porn struggles were bad internet connections. So you would be ready to go, about to finish off strong, and it freezes on the dude's nutsack. Do you ever get that? Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? You'd be like, oh, and then zoom in. This is the angle. The camera, it just lags, right? This is the, and then you have to grab your tip because you're not finishing on that segment.
Well, you also have a higher chance of seeing it end on a dude's nutsack because you have two dudes in the scenes you watch.
Yes.
So it's a little higher.
Get fucked, George, with your shit joke. There's one comedian in this set. Let him be a comedian.
All right, I'm sorry.
I don't have.
I literally said
like
I want to be
a comedian,
and he said, "Just keep eating."
Comedian, because
oh
the.
God.
All right.
Ooh, Mexico.
So yeah, Mexico.
Please, I gotta ask you, Viva Mexico! For all the Mexican viewers out there watching this, we fucking love you guys. I love your culture so much. The food, the music, the Mexico in general, the geography, the place. I gotta ask you this: what was it like, and what does it continue to be like growing up as a Mexican in America?
You know, man, wow, that was very powerful. He can question.
That's get there.
Yeah.
I'm hyped like, up today.
No, he can get really there. Good. Moments ago, he's talking about jerking off and his mom taking a shit.
Don't remind me what you did moments ago.
He's the board, buddy.
It's called flipping it, man. it feels great. The fact that I was able to do the Dodger Stadium show, I know a lot of people were like, wow, you know, like, look at this guy, man. It's one of our own. Went up there and was able to do it, you know, because I didn't. You know, I grew up with just my mom. We had every issue you could think of. We were on Section 8, welfare, the EBT of its day, you know, and we had a lot of struggles. And so it was one of those things where, you know, to be at that moment and to know everything that went into that. And it's like, hey, look, hey, you know, we can do it.
Beyond just that, you've been doing what you do for so long. I have such respect for people who can remain relevant and impactful for decades now, right? And you've done it. And I think your YouTube journey has been really interesting too, because you're a traditional comedian and you have a billion views on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have that on this channel, man. That is a lot. And the early days of the internet, when I was coming up and watching YouTube, I remember you hosted a few episodes of Equals 3.
Yes.
Back in the day with Ray William Johnson.
Ray William Johnson.
Yep, who we had on this podcast.
I give him a lot of credit. Ray was the... he was the king of the internet before, mm-hmm. you know, before anybody really knew what was going on. I mean, his show got, I mean, more views than most networks yeah. were getting. And, you know, he gave me the honor of guest hosting his show a couple of times. And guest hosting one episode of Equals 3 was greater than doing a Tonight Show. It was better than having your own sitcom because, man, the views jumped. I easily gained, I want to say, close to 3 million subscribers just by being a guest host on Equals 3.
Wow.
Which, you know, I don't think he gets enough credit. And yeah, you know.
It's a lot of subs.
I was one of the
Lana
first.
Lana didn't even do that for you.
Yeah. I was one of the first. I was one of the first non-YouTubers that did a show like that. Like with him, he considered me a
like entertainer, like Hollywood style, where, you know, after I did it, then other people started doing it. He got other guests. And I remember one time he actually had Robin Williams on the show. And he goes, yeah, Robin did the show. He saw that other comics did it. And that was like I was like the guy that like brought everybody else in.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, we both helped each other out with that one, but I give him a lot of credit. Ray, if you're watching, dude, thank you.
Hey, Ray.
That's so cool.
Long time no see.
We love you, Ray.
Did you meet Robin?
I actually had an opportunity to meet him one time at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. It was a funny story. So the manager of the club, Richard, he calls me up and he says, hey, listen, man, I know you got your show this Tuesday. There's somebody that called up and they want to do a guest spot on your show. Is that okay? Or is your show booked? And I go, anything for you, man? Yeah, I'll do a guest. No problem. He goes, listen, here's the thing, though. This person who's the guest, they want to go on after you. And I go, okay, well, who is it?
Yeah.
I can't say. They told me not to say because they just want to keep it private. I go, well, Richard, you know, if it's my show, no one goes on. Whatever name is on the ticket or the marquee, that's who goes on last. Yeah. That's just how it goes.
Yeah.
I go, so if I'm going to say, okay, I at least need to know who this person is. And he goes, I cannot tell you. And I go, Richard, I'm not 12 years old. Just tell me who it is. I'll keep my mouth shut. Doesn't matter. And he goes, all you need to know is that if you ever have a secret, know now I can keep it. I'm like, what kind of high school kid is that? So I said, you know what, Richard? Okay, fine. You've piqued my interest. Okay, I'm going to say yes. It better be good. So I go Comedy Magic Club, and you know, I go up on stage. I'm doing my thing, and I get handed a note, and when I open it, it says, please bring up Robin Williams.
Oh, God. My. I literally have goosebumps. Right. You can zoom in on my hand, right? Or my arm. That's fucking crazy.
So, and
that's
Robin
crazy.
Came out, and, you know, when I told the crowd, I go, hey, guys, I need to get off the stage. And the crowd started going, no, boo, no, no, no. Hey. I go, listen, you guys, I'm going to bring somebody out. And as soon as I bring this person out, you're going to be like, Fluffy who? And they're like, no. I go, watch. And then I said it. I go, ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome to the stage, you know. And I said his name. And the crowd was like, the crowd didn't even react because they did not believe.
Of course not.
They didn't believe he was there.
It's so random.
You know, and then he was standing behind me and I didn't know he was behind me and the crowd couldn't see him because, you know, shit. He eclipsed Nano Nano. So I turn and then he's right behind me, right? And I was like, oh my God. And he gave me a quick hug and he goes, you were funny. And I was just like, that's all I needed to hear. I was like, oh my God. And so I went and I watched the show right from the curtain. I watched him right there, like from here to the camera. And it was just like, yeah, as soon as the crowd saw him, they're like, yeah, fuck Fluffy. We don't care.
I mean, he went on. That's Michael Jordan. That's Michael Jordan. That's Michael Jordan, LeBron. That's everybody.
Everybody.
That's Robin fucking Williams, the greatest of all time, right? What? How long before he passed was
months.
That?
Oh my gosh.
So I met him that one time. As soon as he got off the stage, I was waiting right there, you know, by the door. And I was like, hey, you know, oh yeah. And I took a picture with him and his handler, whoever was there with him. Robin, we got to go. They wanted to beat the rush of the crowd out so they can get jump in the car and take off. Yeah, that was my only moment with him, but I'll never forget it. And there's just a picture of it.
Was he one of your comedy
yes.
heroes?
Yes, huge. It was Eddie Murphy, Robin Williams, and there was another, buddy. Somebody. So I can't. Yeah.
Now you got two. Robin Williams and Eddie Murphy. That's it, I guess. It's funny to have it full circle back to the conversation we had about mental health. I mean, you look at somebody like that who is the epitome of making people happy in life. You know, somebody that was able to make billions of people, the most world renowned
right.
actor,
whether it was with comedy or film,
and who was another man, another male person, you know, comedian struggling with severe mental illness, and unfortunately was unable to get it under control. And you know, I mean, talk about losses for
massive,
the you know, maybe the biggest ever in terms of comedy, you know. So that's wild.
People still feel it. Like
yeah.
there's still,
oh, yeah.
you know, more specials coming out about everything. And it's just like, yeah, we're not getting over this one.
It's still very sad. Mm-hmm. It's still very sad because if you, once again, not to continue going back to the age thing, but if you're in your 30s, his movies, his stand up, his touch that existed on you as a person, as a fan of him was a little bit beyond what we've seen since. He had a way to touch your heart.
I was gonna say it's when people like Robin Williams are alive, and there's not many people like Robin Williams that have the amount of impact that he had. You can feel the fact that this human is eternal, right? And so when you lose them, it just hits different. Kobe was another one.
Yep.
for me. Like this person's eternal, and why? You know, why did life unfold this way? I want to pivot because I'm getting sad.
I got bummed out.
I'm sorry.
Well, we also got one in my 400 shows. One of the great. Honestly, that was. I can't believe that happened to you.
That is sick.
That's amazing. Good.
Do you pay attention to any up and coming comics? Is there anyone that you have your eyes on that you think is making waves in the scene?
You know, I used to have my ear to the ground. So I mean, I was always like in the know of who was going on, what was happening. And I feel like, man, in the last couple of years, I've lost touch with everybody who's coming up that's like, you know, new. When I say new, I mean like someone that's been doing stand-up for under 5 years. As far as comics that are like now that are killing it, I mean, God, Tom Segura, Kreischer, Bill Burr, definitely. I think for many years was like, you know, he was right there, and it was just like it was taking a minute. And I feel finally like he's hit it.
Yes.
And I'm a big fan of comics that do things I don't do. Like I try not to get political, controversial. You know, I try to keep the show very safe and very friendly, very fluffy per se. Mm. And people give me shit for that, but whatever.
Is it PG?
I would consider it more PG-13 okay. than anything. But God, I love Jim Jefferies. Jim Jefferies makes me laugh. You know, again, Tom, Kreischer, Bill Burr, and you know, people are gonna say whatever they want, but you know, Chappelle. I mean, he's a wordsmith. He's the way goat. He crafts his sets. I got actually a chance last a little while back at a fight. I was at the Canelo fight when Canelo did Triple G part three. The last one. So I was sitting right next to Chappelle and Rogan, and I had never met Chappelle or Rogan.
Whoa.
And so that for me was pretty crazy because I'm already in my seat. I got there early because I'm like, ain't nobody taking my seat. I've been to these fights, and they'll punk you out of your seat. You're like, look at this ticket. And I'm like, I can move. And I'm like, okay, I'm going Yeah.
You end up in the nosebleeds.
Yeah, so I'm sitting down right there, and sure enough, here comes Rogan and Chappelle, and I was like, oh, shoot. And I wasn't sure what was going to happen because I'd never met them. We have mutual acquaintances and friends and stuff like that, but we've never actually met. So when Joe Rogan was coming by, he saw me, he goes, Gabe, and he gave me a hug. I'm like, oh, cool. Hey, man, what's up? And then Chappelle, and I'm like, and I'm just looking, I'm waiting. I'm like, okay, what's he gonna say? Does he even know who I am?
Yeah.
He's like, hey, man. And how you doing? He pulled me in. I'm like, oh shit. Yeah. And he hugged me. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt like, all right, okay, I got the blessing right there. And so super nice. Both of them sat right there next to me, and we were watching the fights and stuff like that. And then they got kicked out of their seats. They got kicked out of their seats by Travis Scott and DaBaby.
Shut the
fuck. Oh yeah, we saw him. They got DaBaby still have the mask on. It was the ski mask. Yeah, we saw him.
It was the funniest thing because like the guy that works the floor.
Lil Baby.
But I'm saying the guy that works the floor as far as getting people in their seats and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, very proper. He's a British guy. He's like, there's been an unfortunate situation that we must. These seats were promised to another party. And Chappelle's like, man, you motherfuckers, you guys put me here. You know, and I'm just like, ah! And I'm like, oh my God, they're asking Chappelle to leave before me. And I had that little moment where I'm like, well, you know, it's Mexican independence.
I
gotta get one up on
you. He had a mariachi man.
Get out of here, Dave.
But then the guy, I can't believe they moved.
I actually take personal offense to that because you do not move Dave Chappelle.
No, you don't.
How do you do these two people?
Here's what,
offense for these people.
Hold on.
Whoa.
No, don't say that either.
Hold on. Let me say this. It was explained a little bit off. I know it doesn't mean much to us, but it wasn't Duh Baby. It was Lil Baby. So it's a little bit.
Lil Baby, Duh Baby. I don't care whose fucking baby it is. It's Joe Rogan and the greatest stand-up comedian. Fuck them. No. If I was there, I would hit them with this.
Yeah. Like, go get them, Joe.
So here's what happened.
We're actually trying to have them on the show also.
Well, you know, everybody has days, you know, where they need to have their seat. They were promised those seats. A promise is a big deal, though. Was it a pinky promise? That's the thing we got to know.
Yeah, who promised them?
Here's what happened. This is where therapy will help you. So anyway, the guy who's making the arrangements, first of all, he was freaked out because they told him, you need to tell. I can hear the whole conversation. It's like, I got Chappelle, Joe Rogan, and to my left, Michael J. Fox. I'm like, are you kidding me, right? So the guy comes over and he tells Chappelle and Rogan, he's like, sir, this is unfortunate. Unfortunately, these seats were promised to someone else. We can put you ringside next touching the ring. And then they were both like, well, hell, man, you know, let's go.
That's fine.
They got out and they went and they put him right next
to that's fine. That's cool.
Did Dave have a full cup with him?
I got him a shot. I got him a shot at the tequila.
Nice. It was cool.
That dude is the best person ever. He's fucking hilarious, bro. We see him out from time to time, and he's one of the nicest people in the
fucking world. I'm so glad you brought up that he drinks, because I'm a huge fan of comedians. Before I even met you, I was really fucking nervous. I love because I look up to you guys. I know what you guys are doing. I know how hard it is. I saw him as well at a fucking boxing ring, his brother's boxing match, and he was coming, and I made eye contact. He was gonna sit right here, and I literally go, I'm not doing it. And I literally got up and left. Because he was coming in all hot and he was drinking his boys. And I'm like, I'm going to fuck up this night somehow. I'm going to say
you
something.
You can't with him. He is the most easygoing person on the fucking planet, bro.
He really is.
Bro, he goes out of our way to tell us, like, huge fan of your show, guys. I'm like, well, it would be nice if you would sit on the show with us, Dave. He goes,
I'm sorry, by the way. Are we butchering his
voice? No, I can't do it. I'm not a fucking linguistics expert. I'm doing the best I fucking can here. But he goes, I'll do it when I'm ready. You know, like...
the fact that he would even acknowledge that, like, and just he'd be like
the nicest person in the world.
He was very nice the entire time up until they booted him, and then of course they put Travis Scott and which baby?
Little baby.
Little baby. Yeah, I want to get my baby right. And he was wearing the ski mask, and it's funny because it's like there's somebody with a full blown ski mask, and he had bling for days. I'm like. It looked weird.
Ski masks are in now. The like anonymous Nate, like you're anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're not showing your face, but everyone knows.
But everyone knows who you are. Yeah.
That's this. I don't know.
And so I told Travis, I go, you have no idea who just got kicked out for you guys to sit here.
Oh, boy.
Travis was like, I know exactly who the hell got kicked out. And I was like, okay. Enjoy the fight, sir. Have a good time.
He's a little bit more reserved than Dave, for sure. Get it. But the night that he didn't talk to Chappelle was the night that he came back and gave that speech to Jake and you after the fight.
Yeah, and that was...
GP was like, no, he's not fucking coming in this locker room. We're like, yo, GP, that's Dave Chappelle. I don't give a fuck who it is. This is a closed facility.
GP's
like,
my dad. GP.
Oh, okay.
I got one of those type of
nice. Suck it up.
Yes. Yes. Getting recognition from your peers is sick. Especially at the highest level, right? Like I had to imagine that feels awesome. I wanted to pivot a little bit and not to go back in it, but I do find your dedication and ability to innovate in the space, I imagine has been instrumental in your success. Is there something that you could attribute to your success more than the rest? Was it like the syndication of clips on YouTube? Was it the touring? Was it the Comedy Central specials? Which elevated you the most?
The willingness to give up everything to pursue this dream. You know, there's when I say sacrifice, I mean sacrifice. There were lots of hours and time that, you know, clearly could have been spent with people or doing things, having fun. Once money started coming in, it could have been easy for me to just dick off and be like, all right, I'm going to go party. I'm going to go do this, or I'm going to get into that. And I didn't. I knew that, you know, like I know what I want, and I'm willing to sacrifice and work my ass off to get it. And I think that if you're willing to, like I said, I take no time off. You know, if I have an opportunity to do work, I work. And I think most of the time people aren't willing to work. You know, they say they want it. You know, that's why I love listening to Kevin Hart when he talks about how, you know, you if you want something, what are you willing to do to get there? Like Kevin Hart, in my opinion, is the hardest working comic, actor, whatever you want to call it, in show business, because I honestly think he schedules his shits, because I don't know when he's not working. He's always doing something. He's always on a commercial. He's always on television. He's always doing something on the internet. He's got his own slew of shows. He's got his own channel. He's always making a movie. And just when you think the movie's done, there's two more coming behind that. And I'm like, there's got to be 87 Kevin Harts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, wow. And so, you know, when I talk to him, he tells me, you know, the conversations about that, about sacrifice and what are you willing to do and how much do you want? And this can become addicting, where it's like,
because I don't think Kevin can say no. I think that so much is riding on Kevin where it's very hard. And saying no, once everything is just happening, it's super hard.
So when do you call it, Fluffy? Like,
I thought about it. I thought about retiring right after Dodger Stadium because I says, you know what? I don't know if I'll ever be able to do anything as amazing as this in one night. This is like, are you kidding? How do you just go back to, you know, hey, everybody, don't forget, tip your wait staff, you know? All right.
At a bar.
You know what I mean? It's like that would have been the going out on the highest point possible. So like, what do you do now? How do you set a goal for yourself? Because like literally it's not every day someone sees the peak, you know what I mean? Or knows that they jumped a shark. Mm. Yeah, that's an old saying. I forget you're young. You just freaking, you got the.
You look old.
You got the, yeah. So it's, you know, what are you willing to sacrifice? I know that right now, I want to see how this special does. Mm. Based on that, I'm going to see what I can do. Because I definitely don't want to just fade. If anything, I want to go out with a bang.
You have to.
And so if there's something that can be done that's bigger than this, that I can aim for. Someone said, hey, man, you should make friends with Elon Musk. See if you do comedy in space. Yeah, maybe like you could be the first comic to do jokes up there for 10 minutes.
Someone will do that.
Someone will eventually do it. Yeah. You know, and I don't know if I can pass a physical or not, but fuck it, I'll die in space. Why not? You know, he went out there, man.
He just never came.
They opened the door. They let him out. He's hovering over
Fluffy somewhere in the universe.
Going around the
planet. You could be the first orbiting comedian.
There you go.
So
and it sounds like a joke, but is it at this point?
I'm telling you, everyone will be the first someone to do something in space, which is fascinating.
What are you willing to sacrifice?
Yeah.
And I think that's been the biggest thing is being able to give up certain things to get to the goal.
Just hearing you talk, I think you're going to have a hard time with retirement. Yeah, you sound like a workhorse.
I love being on stage. It's my favorite thing in the world. And, yes, I could, you know, try to get into other things, whether it's, you know, more acting or you know, I like doing voiceover. I've been doing a lot of that. That's been a lot
with
movies and stuff like that. But it doesn't bring me that same level of joy of being in front of people, being in front of a crowd, having that instant feedback, knowing that you're connecting and just going back and forth.
Maybe you need a hobby. Awesome.
I collect chihuahuas, bro. I collect chihuahuas.
Another thing too on the going out with a bang thing, maybe it's not about using the metric of a sold out stadium and that success as the apex. Comedy, like so many other things, is an ever evolving environment, and your ability to do it is an ever-evolving environment. So if instead of looking at Dodger Stadium being the biggest thing you've ever done, maybe the end of the road for you is being the best comic you ever can be, and that never ends. And so you can find yourself on stage for the rest of your life, whether there's 10 people serving fucking Michelob Ultras in the crowd or you're selling out Wembley, you're just doing the best you can for yourself. And so maybe people sometimes need to just like change up their metric for what they're doing and why they're doing it. Cause I'm sure you fucking love what you're doing regardless of how many people are in the
crowd. That was very well put. Very well put. Thank you for that. Yeah. That's awesome.
Give something.
Hey, you know? Fucking learn.
I got you. I got one. So like sometimes when I'm deep by myself and I think, but on a serious note, how do you stop yourself? From like, if say you, that is your goal, right? That's your top. That's the thing you want to walk away from. How do you stop yourself from being bitter when it's done? Because that's one thing I'm noticing people that I look up to. The one thing that I don't want to have that takeaway from is like, fuck, dude. Once I see somebody accomplish their goal, it's like the scariest thing is because the goal lasts 30 seconds. Once it's finished, it's done. And then now I'm just watching them tear themselves apart. If it's like a mental thing or if it's like a physical thing.
You want to call someone out?
I'm not calling anybody.
Who are you talking about?
No, I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking somebody I look up to is dealing with this. And so I watch it and it's very tricky. It's a very it touches deep at home. Because think about it, you worked your whole entire life for this. You worked your whole entire life. You did all the sacrifices, you finish it, and now you're just like either mad that it's done or you're lost and you have nowhere else to go. So like, how do you keep yourself sane?
Can I add one before you answer that? I'm seeing this because I think I'm catching what you're saying now is a lot of people who are really great at what they do have a hard time adapting to an ever-changing landscape, especially right now, right? there's new ways to be successful. There's new ways to do exactly what you're doing, sometimes even better than you are. And a lot of the old heads sometimes have a hard time swallowing that. I'm not sure there's a question, but...
No. But as far as being bitter, like for me, I'm thinking, okay, if I did everything I could possibly do that I could think of, and all the boxes have been checked, I don't see how I could be bitter. Unless there was like, oh man, if only I could have done that one thing or done that one thing, then maybe there's that unfinished business, then that could lead to bitterness. But I think that if everything has been done, it has to be nothing short of joy and a celebration of the fact that it happened.
You would literally think, because I think this way, I think there's no way you're not celebrating for the rest of your life. But I've realized just from watching it, bro, it's there. For example, you're in like this, you're going 100 miles an hour. But behind you, you have 1,000 people that you're directing how to set up these things, how to do these. All these people make their livings off of the direction you're taking. Now imagine goes, and now you're like, no one's asking me to do anything or like act to do anything. I have to jump onto this ship and do that. That is the problem that I've noticed. And I think it's wrestling with the pride thing. Like Drake said something in an interview once that stuck with me forever. He goes, I hope I know when it's my time to go. To like leave and move on and be happy. And I was like, how the fuck is that a trouble thing to do? And I never locked in until I saw my heroes go through it, bro. They were saying things that I never thought they'd ever say. They're doing things that I never thought they'd ever do. And it's all because they're just fucking prideful in the fact that, yo, my time's done. I'm going to move on. I'm going to go do this. And it's just, and by the way, I'm not saying that you're anywhere near that. I hope you're not getting that at all.
No, but I hear what you're saying. And you know what? That actually is a concern because I do, there's a support system. And definitely if I was to just stop, that would be an issue. But I don't think I would just stop, trying to be an entertainer or try to be in this business somehow. I would just, once everything is checked, if I decided to walk away, I would have to find something to, I couldn't just sit
You can't retire.
And twiddle my fingers and be like, all right, we're just going to,
Got to switch it up.
Dip our feet in the pool.
And you need a hobby.
I would need to find something to do. I think it would need to be something that would require me to give focus and attention. If it's a hobby, you're just going to kind of like,
unless you monetize it.
I would need to make it something that like I need to give it, you got to water it. You got to nurture it. You got to grow it. You got to embrace it and make it something. But definitely I couldn't just walk away because I know that me stopping would stop an entire machine of people and their families and things that are going on. There's always, it's not just me. Yeah. So I got to make sure that whatever it is I do, I'm looking out for everyone else. And, because if everyone knows that I'm being mindful of that, then they're going to be mindful with me. So it's kind of like it's a give and take. But yeah, with Drake, we're talking about a different tax bracket altogether. there's that 1% and then there's that freaking zero.
Well, yeah, because that's a luxury.
Because
that's a luxury in its own right, too. It's like, to be Drake, he can say something like that. Like, I hope I know when it's my time to go because he can check his bank account. He's like, all right, well, I got $580 million today. So maybe I should wait till I got $972. Not everybody has that. Some people have to keep working because they got bills to pay. They got food to put on the table. So it's a little bit more complicated than just knowing that your legacy is secured. Sometimes you need to know that you can afford to pay for mortgage for the next 20 some odd years of your life before you check into your final destination in the fucking ground, brother. You feel me?
Are you a gangster?
Hey, I was just trying to get deep. I'll talk about toes right now, bro.
All I'm saying is some people have to keep working.
Go ahead. Okay, man.
No, don't fucking... Don't. You've been blocking me the whole time. Now you're gonna fucking jot out like that's fucked up, bro.
I caught that look first, man.
Hey, I know you're rich, but are you buying stuff? Fun stuff.
Fun stuff.
Toys.
We have this GoFundMe.
Yeah. We all want go-karts.
We got these dogs, man. We got these dogs.
You got both?
You know what? No, I don't have a boat. I have friends that have boats, and they are either really, really happy or really, really upset at the fact that they have a boat. So I don't want to. I'd rather just be like, "Hey, can we go for a ride this weekend on your boat?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then that's it. My toys are Volkswagens. I collect Volkswagens.
Oh shit!
And so I call it. I have about 30 Volkswagens.
Oh, you have a hobby?
Yeah. Well, I, yeah.
You got a hobby, man.
I call it the Jay Leno starter kit. I got these cars. And then I recently started collecting muscle cars. So I got like a 68 Camaro. I got a 69 Chevelle. I got two Chevelles, actually. I just bought a 64 Impala. And I know it sounds right. You know, okay, of course, he has a 64 Impala. No, I'm not doing anything to it that looks like a 90s video. I'm keeping it stock.
That's
but,
cool.
But yeah, so I got some cars. And, I have my, aside from stand-up, I have my merch company. So I have a building in Long Beach where, I keep everything going. And that's where most of the staff is. And just making, coming up with ideas for stuff to put out there in the shows. And,
Yeah. I ask because I do think it's important for hustlers like yourself that you reap the benefits of your work,
mm-hmm.
the thing that you're doing, and I'm glad to hear you have 30 Volkswagens.
Nice.
And if you want to donate one to
our GoFundMe,
we will accept.
So, one thing that I really admire, aside from the fact that you've managed to find so many different avenues to thrive in, is I met your trainer. You got a trainer, like a legit trainer, because I know people say, oh, I got a personal trainer. It's always some douche with a freaking bottle of water around.
Yeah, no, a gallon of water.
Yeah, he's got the glasses. He's always biting the glasses. I'm his trainer and stuff. But no, your dude's legit. I think that's the one thing that has that I haven't gotten a grasp on yet is getting my health in order. And I don't just mean in order. I mean getting to the point where, like getting to a certain level physically where nothing hurts, where, cause I'm 46 now and it's different. You know, I used to not have pain and now I have pain and I don't fight people. I don't get hit. I feel like I got hit. Dude, it's everywhere, bro. It's everywhere. That's why I put on sandals, because freaking tiny shoes is like, no, hey.
It's not good. You need support in your shoes. The sandals are bad, actually. You need to support the knees. How are your knees?
On the road, I'm good. I got, I wear my New Balance because that's the healthy shoe to wear.
What are those scars from?
Knee surgery.
ACL, MCL.
Torn meniscus.
Yeah, MCL.
Torn meniscus.
So
that's a big scar for a meniscus.
That's a big knee.
Touché. Touché.
It's funny too, because my doctor told me, he goes, yeah, it's a procedure. It takes about 90 minutes. And then 4 hours later, he goes, wow. He goes, that took a minute.
We were really in there.
Yeah, that took a minute. But no, man, congrats on everything. But more importantly, man, just, dude, you freaking, way to go. Way to stay in shape.
Thanks.
It's not an easy thing to do. And that's a lot of sacrifice, a lot of time. And man, I love burgers. And it's
hey.
Hard.
Nah, he is
it's
hard.
Well, also.
Yeah.
I love burgers. But you're.
Clearly, I love them more.
You might. You might.
You want to argue with
me? Hey, listen, I was 80 pounds heavier. Listen, this is what I want to say this to you, Fluff. Can I call you Fluff?
Yeah.
Okay. I would love for you to think about your health while it is still an option. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because one day a doctor will tell you that it's no longer an option. And it's the worst fucking thing that you will ever hear in your entire fucking life.
Well, haven't you already been told that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So you know what it's like.
Yeah.
What was your thing? You were on
death's
door, weren't you?
Being diabetic, having just anytime you're overweight,
you're
always gonna have a series of issues. And the older you get, the harder it gets to bring it in and do something with it. And so I'm at that point now where I'm like, fuck, man, that's a lot of money I'm gonna leave behind. who's gonna drive the Volkswagen?
There's so many of them. Everyone in this room gets one Volkswagen.
What's that struggle like though for you?
It's hard, man, because it's like, I even have a gym. That's the sad part. I have a gym and it's like 20 feet away from my room, and it's like it's a mental thing for sure.
I want to suggest something. It's a theory that I'm playing with that I think works, because believe it or not, I don't love working out, and I'm physically fit by default, I guess now, because it's like it's my job,
part of the business,
But I don't like working out, dude. It's hard. Like I struggle like everyone else. But something that has always helped me, and if physical health is going to become a priority in the upcoming years of your life, just put on your tennis shoes. Start there. Put on your tennis shoes. Go to the gym. I don't care if you are on your phone. I don't care if you're hanging out with a friend.
Show up.
Put on your tennis shoes and go to the gym. See what happens. Because I bet you end up doing something. Even if you are texting. Like Mike. go on the elliptical, text whatever it is. And it is a consistency thing. It is a slow buildup, but eventually you will start to feel that momentum that you have now in a different arena, because I'm hearing you talk. I know you have the success trait. I know if you devoted energy to physical health or anything, physical fitness, you could do it. You know, put on your tennis shoes, go to your gym. That's right outside your door.
They're right there.
Text, work on your routine, whatever it is.
Like, even if you, dude, I mean, you're 100, speaking 100% my language. It's just showing up. There are some days when I go to the gym and I go on the elliptical for 15 minutes.
Yeah, who cares?
I get a little sweat going and I went. My main thing is that I get there every single day. Mm. But the other, the messed up thing about it is, counter that point. So many people, even me, talk about going to the gym every single day, but all of this shit is built in the kitchen. It's all gut health. It's all what you're putting in your body. Mm. You could run a marathon every fucking day, but if you're eating like shit, you're going to look and you're going to feel like shit. And this is the lesson I've been learning lately. It's a lot of it is because I've struggled a ton with my weight. I was just about 300 pounds at one point, and I lost 130 pounds. I was down to 170, which was actually disgusting.
Oh my gosh.
It was horrifying. Whoa. I was cycling a lot and eating nothing. But lately I've been just working on trying to find that balance with food. And a lot of it for me lately has just been straight up portion control. Cause like you start to feel like if you're just eating grilled chicken, you're just eating potatoes, but you still have these massive plates that you feel when you feel the weight of the plate.
Yes.
That's still not okay. Like you got to just control your portions, you know, or at least that's what I found for me. So I don't know. You know better than we do.
I've been on a million diets, for sure. And some things do work, but then you get comfortable. You're like, wow, look at me. This is going really well. And then you want to celebrate.
Yep. Yep.
And next thing you know, there's a Jiffy peanut butter on the counter and you got a spoon in it. You're like, it's like, anybody else got that whole peanut butter crack thing? Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I can relate to the crack part.
So I grab the peanut butter and a spoon and then I'll get a bowl of cereal and then I'll hit the cereal with the spoon.
Wait.
And then I'll eat the cereal off it's like a little combo.
Oh, that's.
Wait, what type of cereal?
I'll get like
please say which.
Like Frosted Flakes or something.
All right.
Or, you know, or
peanut butter on the spoon.
Even Raisin Bran, because I like the raisins. Right.
Can you give me one more, a third try?
A third try? Like Honey Nut Cheerios.
I was just thinking
that surprises me.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe you might
include the goat.
The goat of all cereals. And
everyone knows it.
Well, Captain Crunch is close. That's like a senior executive at the company. But
Jeff, you know it? Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
CEO of the business, the operator,
Cinnamon
the president.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Hold on a second. Relax. This is an objective situation. Everyone in the world knows that when you talk about cereal.
Everybody's shouting out their cereal now.
No. What did you say?
Fruity Pebbles.
I mean, great. So also senior VP level. You've got one, basically god of cereal, and then all the other little guys can play under it. That's fine. And it's because
you can do so much with Cinnamon Toast
so
Crunch.
Much.
It's not just about the cereal. That milk afterwards, that is a flavor.
Oh, it's called horchata.
Horchata.
Horchata, yeah, Kevin. If you got Cinnamon Toast Crunch and you put milk in it and you eat whatever's left over, that's freaking horchata.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
I call it.
It's not. But
tastes
that's what
like
it. Tastes
it tastes like it.
You see how offended he goes? It's not.
He's from Guadalajara.
Yeah, that's rice water, but it tastes like it though because of the cinnamon.
Yeah,
I call it. I call it Angel Cum.
Oh,
so yeah, Angel Cum. So five dishes. Five dishes is the magic number. You take that bowl after five bowls of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. You take that milk. You could bottle that shit and sell it to fucking Bill Cosby, bro. Literally, dude. I'm not even fucking kidding, bro.
Five dude, bowls,
oh, yeah.
Mike?
Oh, yeah.
That's all.
Cosby
lot.
Will gobble that shit right up.
Do you smoke?
I used to.
For how long?
I used to. In my 20s, I'd say I had a little run between like 20 and 20, almost 30.
Why'd you stop?
You know what? I rely on my voice. And my weed dries out your throat, man. And then my voice was starting to crack, and that became a problem. And plus, I'm like, I'm good. You know, I mean, what did I need to come down from? I'd rather drink than smoke.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm the opposite.
Yeah, same. I think the implications of drinking, they're longer lasting for me.
Mm.
Weed, I can chill out.
They're both bad.
Do you have a hyperactive brain?
But the problem, too, is that either I'll go right to sleep, or I am up thinking about like how to conquer the world. Okay. You know, I'm just like, all right, what's going on in my
with
brain?
With weed or drinking?
With weed.
Oh, bro.
Weed, yeah, no. And then I start thinking, I get dark, too.
Oh, 100%. That's how I always was.
Dark things. And then I got friends that go, oh, you got to try the double berry fudge kush. This, and I'm like, talk to me in English, dude. I have no idea. And then I have friends that'll give me like edibles, and I thought that was a good idea for sleeping. And then I was given one, and I didn't feel anything. I thought you were supposed to feel it like in
I love
like
20 these minutes. I love these.
And so I ate like two more.
Rookie mistake. Rookie mistake.
I was on the 405, man, and it hit. And I'm just like, wow. And I remember being so grateful that there was traffic, because at least I was able to manage at 5 miles an hour to get home, where it was just like, I was just so happy for traffic at that moment. I don't like edibles because it takes too long to hit and it takes too long to go out of your system.
Plot.
And if you're having a bad trip, that's no.
Yikes.
Plot twist, there was no traffic, buddy.
Nice.
There was no traffic. You were driving.
It was a Saturday.
You were driving 5 miles an hour in the fast lane with no one in front of you.
Oh, man. Yeah, so that for me is just, I can't handle it. So it's rough. I'd rather take some Advil PM and call it a night.
or some NyQuil. ZQuil.
Yeah, yeah, right. Or ZQuil.
Yeah. Okay, well, dude, that's all I got.
Nice.
on that note.
No. For the show. I feel blessed and extremely full after talking with you, man.
Nice.
I appreciate your time and energy, and thanks for coming on.
Hey, can we talk real quick when we first met? Hey, wait. Don't kill it.
Okay. I like this. Oh, wait.
Still on. All right. He mentioned it earlier. We met at the Andy Ruiz white party.
Yes, yeah. Sir.
It does sound racist. It does sound racist. So Andy Ruiz had just won the heavyweight championship from Joshua, and he wanted to celebrate, and he threw this white party at his house. And when I heard white party, I go, what does that mean? Because I did the same thing. I'm like,
am I invited?
I'm like, do they want me to park cars or what? Why am I being invited to this? I don't own anything white other than like, you know, underwear. And even that's questionable. And so when I agreed,
it's off white.
I was allowed to bring a couple of friends with me. And so I told everybody, all right, here's the catch. It's a white party. And then they're all like, dude, we're not. I go, I know you're not freaking white. So we all had to go to the store and then buy clothes that we were going to
just for the party.
One time, just for the party. And so that's where, you know, met you there, your brother and Andy. Andy wore white for the first 30 minutes of that party. And then he's like, I'm Andy. It's my house. I'm the one throwing the party. And then he went and changed.
He fucked up that night, too.
It was a party.
But I got to say this. Time. As the classic gringos of that party, because there were very few, like we were the only whites at the white party. I don't think I've ever been so scared to like look at a girl. Remember, I was telling you about this.
Andy Ruiz has some boys,
bro,
and so do you,
bro.
I don't have his boys. I don't
but
have
just
his
in
boys.
General. Like obviously,
the house,
the Mexican culture.
Didn't the house have a kind of a Scarface feel?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say, bro. There were some.
Oh, I'm looking around.
Yes,
yes. Tower.
Do not slip up. Yeah,
there were some good-looking girls there, and somebody was like, hey, Kevin, or no, Kevin wasn't there yet, but somebody was like, yo, you see that girl over there? And I was like, no, I don't.
No, I do not.
I don't. I haven't seen a single girl at this place.
There was a girl in a bikini, and she had a sword, and she
was, that was the one. Yes. That was the one
she
we're talking about.
So
yes.
Yeah, she was grabbing bottles of champagne, and she's like, "Watch this!" And then boom, and you could tell, you know, she's just boom, and she's knocking this over. Yeah. No one's even looking at that.
Her I couldn't hold off on. I did get her Instagram.
I remember that.
I remember that very vividly. So she funny. Was
my ghost.
Stunning.
It's worth death.
Yes, yes. Well, and she had a sword, so I was like, maybe she'll defend me.
But it was such a. It was a good time. It was just the entire time I was like, all right, now what? Now, so once I saw the girl with the sword, and then there was a naked girl with sushi.
Yep.
She was covered in sushi.
Yes. Yep.
And I'm like, okay, there's a naked girl with sushi. And the guy's like, do you like sushi? I go, I think I do. I like sushi.
I do not.
So we're eating sushi, and then there was drinks, and then there was a fountain, and just, there's just so many different things going on. And I'm like, you know, it was cool. We took a really cool picture. And you and your brother and Andy and myself,
and I
posted it online a while back, and I says, Andy Ruiz and I are going to challenge, you know, challenge the brothers for the tag team championship. It was just being stupid, and then people started making comments in there, and I'm like,
wow. Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, the block was really hot for us back then, I think.
But you know what? It's just like wrestling, man. If people are talking about you, that's good heat. Whether it's good or bad, that's, you know. That equals numbers.
So
those numbers are bank numbers.
We've learned that now. You know, it takes a while though to get used to people talking bad about you. And Jake has taken kind of on the role of villain more than me, and he loves it. I haven't always been good at it. you know, because I just want to be liked.
We all want to be liked.
You know, pretty normal, yeah.
I just want to be liked. I don't. But sometimes you do got to activate that. And I think at that time, Jake was really pressing some buttons, which is probably what you were feeling. But we've come a long way, man. Mm-hmm. We've come a long way. And it is an honor to have you on this podcast. And I really appreciate this time. I think a lot of people are going to take away a lot of good stuff from this episode. Yes.
Big wrestling fan too, by the way.
Hey, man, I am going to make you awesome. Proud in that vertical.
Oh, man.
WrestleMania, LA.
I'm going to be there.
April 1st, my
I'm gonna be there.
Birthday, dude. I'm going to go crazy. Oh, my gosh. I want to see you there.
I'm going to be there.
Cool.
I'm going to be there.
Cool.
It's exciting.
Hell yeah. Well, Gabriel, thank you for coming on.
Wait, no, hold on.
Sure, George, you
sorry.
Go for it.
Sorry. We're actually doing something new moving forward, I think. You guys want to open this up or no?
I want to see you try to describe
it. Okay, I'll describe it. I was sitting home smoking a fat J, and I'm sitting there watching all of your stand-up, and I'm getting so excited that we're about to sit down and talk. And I go, dude, we sit down with the coolest people in the world, and we don't take anything but that beautiful conversation. So I kind of wanted to start something where we get you to sign and give us money for a GoFundMe. we want you to sign something so we could take it away, because I think you're something really special in this world, and I don't want to walk away without having something memorable.
Very nice. Thank you.
Yeah. So sign this and give us money.
We're actually going to auction it off so we can buy Volkswagen.
No. But. Okay. But do we have a marker? Or are you just going to hand him a shirt?
Yes, I did. I brought a marker.
Or why don't you just give him a shirt? Would that make more sense?
Aloha.
We got you the Hawaiian shirt because
my thing.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. And George did have the good idea. We get memorabilia related to the guests and have them sign it. I actually think it's a great idea, George, and you're right. And we'd love for you to sign this and be our first memorabilia impulsive.
So, interesting fact. The reason why I wear Hawaiian shirts is because of Robin Williams.
Oh,
no
yeah.
way.
Yeah, that was his thing. And so, I just wanted to be like Robin. And yeah.
So cool, man. Okay, yeah, we'll get you a marker after the show, but we're going to be doing that.
I have it.
Oh, he's going to do it right now.
Because I'm going to do it
on You can use my back.
Oh, all right. Nice.
Oh, God.
He's been in that position too many times, this podcast.
Way too comfortable getting in that position.
This is,
what are you saying? Jeff
this is like the guy that
Jeff is pissed on the, right now.
Dial up on the porn.
What are we going to do with it? I just think it's cool to have, George is right. We have some pretty cool conversation with
Well, people. No, but the way that it was explained ticked me off. I started this episode angry. I'm going to fucking finish it out.
Sure.
He came here. George said that all he does, the guest comes here, they give us something, and all we do is take that away. So now he gave us the show and his signature. Now we've taken even more. Like, where was the logic? What? I can't hear you, Dylan, because the mics are resting on a wire popped up on a fucking
Oh, wow. All right, Fluffy, thank you for coming on this episode of Impulsive.
Be outside. Thank you.
Guys, hit that subscribe button if you're not already subscribed. We love you. Follow Fluffy on all his channels. And watch his new special on Netflix. Take it easy. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.